Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, live the lies.
It was a big day at Minute Maid Park yesterday. You had Cal McNair show up. You had Andre Johnson show up. And in honor of the Astros having Andre Johnson throw out the first pitch and honoring him, Hunter Brown decided to honor Framber Valdez by that awful play in the fourth inning. The Astros go down, and that's now a series loss to the Pirates. I think the Astros are now 3-6 in the last night. But Hunter Brown had a chance to get out of an inning. And look, Hunter Brown's been really good for, now we're talking about 2.5+ months of the season. It was still 1-0. That topper, he stumbles, throws it away. It leads to two runs. And at that point, the game was over. Yiner hit a home run to make it 3-1, but the Astros were never in it. They go down. They now are officially a game behind the Mariners. Mariners have played, I believe, two more games on the season, but the Astros lose. And the vibes aren't immaculate right now, Sean. Whether people are angry about a trade deadline that probably didn't improve the team to the level people wanted. And then you also, and clearly belief may vary on the prospects, but no one likes to overpay. It's just, it don't make you feel good, particularly when the product coming back is, I don't know, it'd be like going to HEB and paying Wagyu prices for ground beef. Hey, why is the HEB brand ground beef now far more expensive than it ever was? And that's what it felt like during the trade deadline. Then you got yourself a Ferguson from the Yankees, and Yankee fans were thrilled to get him out the door. That also never makes you feel good when the rival team's fans are like, thanks for doing us a favor. We appreciate it. So the vibes are bad. What it means, it just means it's been a rough 48 hours or so. And Dana Brown, I think this is the day he does his hit with the rights holder. So we'll see what he has to say, and we'll see how the reaction is, because there's one specific person who works for them who tweets everything that Dana Brown says during his time with them. So I'm sure there will be responses to that, to those tweets. Meanwhile, Dana Brown won't have to deal with it, and his justification will be wait till the end of the year. We're going to hear from Justin Verlander today. Verlander spoke on his session yesterday. He threw to live batters. Luis Garcia did as well. That was actually overshadowed because Verlander's Verlander, but Luis Garcia was out there too. So how many weeks, how many times in rotation, turns in the rotation are we away from those guys being back? Verlander only threw 25 or so pitches. He didn't even really know, but I think the count was around 20 or so. So we're still a ways away. I'm sure rehab starts will come, and then maybe a final determination. He did say something very positive that we'll hear as far as how his body reacted immediately afterward, a change in that, which he was very thrilled with. So we'll get to that. But overall, you may get good news from guys who aren't available. The guys who are available aren't playing well. That's another series loss. And the days of patting one John Granato, Hollywood Johnny, on the back for his prediction of the Astros being in first place before the end of July, it feels like an empty victory at this point, because your team has reverted back. And I ask this question because I like to make comparisons to the other local teams. Was the Astros' run into first place Jalen Green's march, where, hey, look, Jalen Green's the best, one of the best players in basketball for a month. And then he ran out of gas like the Rockets did as they were trying to chase down a play-in spot. Did the Astros just have one run in them this year, and then they're back to playing like they were for the better part of the season, where we're not ever really sure they're going to turn it around? There's hope, but maybe this is who they are. 55 and 52 now, I believe. Maybe this is what this team is. And since we can't see them whole, we're never going to actually know what the potential of this team is. I'm leaning one way. I don't want to make it definite right now, but it feels like after 100-plus games, the outlier is the run that got them back into it, and we can give thanks to the Mariners for that. But now the Mariners are playing better. It helps to play the White Sox for a series, and they split the first two against Boston. So now they're back with a one-game lead. I hope it's not a Jalen Green thing where they're regressing to the mean of this season, not what they have been in totality over the course of the last 8-9 years or so. But maybe this is just a year where they're just simply an average baseball team, and nothing's going to change that this season. If you rip off 8 in a row, I feel differently. But right now, I think they are what they are. And you got to hope that we can sell. Hey, we're going to get 3 All-Stars back, right? Verlander, Garcia, and Tucker. You just hope that the team that's currently going out there every day hasn't dropped too many games, and those guys, once they come back, can make up the difference. So let's hear from a guy who may potentially be back. Maybe not soon, but in short order, as the Astros try to, at this point, chase down is probably too strong. It's only a game. But try to overtake the Mariners and eventually win the division. Here's Justin Verlander. He said multiple things. He, at least from the clips, he spent maybe 2.5 to 3 minutes talking to the media. But here is Justin Verlander on some good news following his outing or his session yesterday.
Very good. I mean, knock on wood, no issues.
Will tomorrow be another tell sign?
Yeah, that's why I can't really say what the next step is. Still got to see how I bounce back. But, before when it happened, it was immediate. I would feel it. So I think a great sign that I did.
So he didn't feel the issues that he had felt, and that's good. There's some progress there. We had heard about shutdowns and we're gonna back off. Just play some catch because, as he alluded to and really talked about, soreness or I don't know if what you would call it, pain, but it didn't feel right after a session. Now, that one felt normal. He didn't throw a lot of pitches, so we're still a ways away. But that's all you can take from it, is that things are trending in the right way. Now, he also went on to say about you have to wait to see what today brings and see how he feels. But at least yesterday, good news. He also was asked about the team's goals the rest of the way, and what he thought of their newest acquisition. That was before Ferguson from the Yankees was acquired, before that news broke, I believe. Here's Justin Verlander on the acquisition of Kikuchi and what the rest of the season will be about for the team.
I know he's got good stuff. I don't know a ton about him, but it's that time of year where, the team makes moves. We find our core, we find our guys that we're going to go to war with for the rest of the season, and that's it. Try to go win as many ball games as we can and go win a World Series. That's what it's all about. So, that stuff, the trades and stuff, are what other people are paid for. We're here to win baseball games. So I know that he's got a lot of upside, and hopefully we can help bring that out of him, and hopefully he's an integral part of something special.
I like how the Astros are now positioned as a developmental guy, team for guys who are already in the major leagues. Hey, he hasn't gotten with us yet. We got that magic sauce. Espada alluded to it, and now Justin Verlander saying it, that there is a belief that once he gets with us, we got a shot to change what has been a disappointing last month and a half or so for Kikuchi. I'm interested to see that. How much sauce do they have remaining for a guy who has the stuff? And I think that's what they look for. Does he have it in him? Does he have the raw materials for, the 30-plus-year-old pitcher? Does he have the raw materials for us to get in there and change? This would be a real test. Like, Ronel Blanco his year, but he had been in the organization for a bit. But to bring in a 30-plus-year-old pitcher who has established ways of doing things, and in a matter of, what, 60 days, 45 days, change the way he does things to make him someone you can depend on if it comes to that in the playoffs? Let's see. It feels like a rental unless their magic sauce really works, and then maybe they think, hey, he's pretty good here. Let's continue to give him opportunities to pitch for us. It's going to put the creative writing team of Miller and who was it again? Who's the other guy? Miller and Murphy?
Murphy.
It'll
put not Lord and Murphy.
No, it'll put the creative writing team of Miller and Murphy and test them to a level I don't think they've been tested before. Get this older pitcher to a point where he pitches like an Astro and we can win games with him and go win another pennant. We'll see. We'll see, but that is the thing. I think it's funny that they're acknowledging, hey, guys, we know. We get it. He's not what you might think is someone who can help us, but he hasn't met us yet. Once he meets us, things will change.
We can fix him.
Yeah. They're like every girl in college when they meet a guy.
We can fix him.
Yeah, we can fix him. And every guy in college is like, keep thinking that. I got like 8 more years before I'm ready to get fixed.
Yeah.
In fact, the guys who get fixed are the actual age of Kikuchi when they get fixed.
I got one more in me, except I got 10 more in me.
Yeah, exactly. You think I'm going to change. Don't worry. I'm going to get into my early 30s before I'm ready to get fixed. And maybe Kikuchi fits the mold. I don't know how it correlates between college and Major League Baseball, but he would be of the age where he's finally ready to change if he was a less than great boyfriend. Now, he's just a veteran pitcher who the Astros are trying to save, I guess.
So now he won't be having 15 Miller Lights during Monday Night Football.
That's right.
Okay.
That is right. He will be attentive. He will push the game aside. Yeah. Like, you know what?
Watching on his laptop while the Bachelorette's on.
Yeah. He will actually sit down with you and start asking questions about the Bachelorette.
You say Kikuchi walking in. So, Joe Espada, how was your day?
Yes, these are the things. He will sit down, and when you tell him about your day, he won't go, what? That's who Kikuchi will be after he gets with the Astros. The perfect boyfriend or the perfect starting pitcher. We'll see. I hope the Astros can get it done, just like I hope all you ladies out there have fixed the guy you've been trying to fix for half a decade now. We are one segment into the show. We're going to hear from local Tennessee radio, because I won't call it a fight, but let's say an animated conversation happened at Titans training camp. We'll also have our all holdout team. And these guys are dwindling because Love got his contract, Tua got his contract, but a lot of guys are holding in. But there's still some out there, and we're gonna draft. I think there's about 5 or 6 guys who are actually stars in this league. And Sean and I, maybe you guys can get in on it too. We're going to draft and start a roster. Who would we pick to start our team of all the holdouts? Because we got some tackles. There was a time where tackles went first in drafts. That's really no longer a thing, but it was a thing maybe 10 years ago. We've got some wide receivers. We've got quarterbacks. Hell, we even have a pass rusher. So we've got plenty of options at the elite positions of guys who aren't practicing. We will see who we decide to take first. I mean, Laremy Tunsil isn't on this list. He ain't practicing either, but, man, you know, I'm going to throw him in there too because he's there, just not practicing, like a lot of other guys too. So we'll discuss that. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on Andre Johnson, who was part of the celebration at Minute Maid yesterday. He threw out the first pitch. He was in the booth. D'Amico talks about what Andre Johnson was as a player and a person, so we'll hear from D'Amico as well. So plenty to get to. We're just getting started. We'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
He has done things that we've asked him to do to adjust, you know, make some adjustments in his swing, his defense, We all know about his speed, and I'm just really happy for him that he's getting an opportunity.
How will he sort of fit in with the team? How do you plan to use him going forward?
You know, I'm right now, you know, I like the bat, and I'm going to try to get him in there in the next couple of days. I like the speed off the bench. Can play all three outfield positions. You know, he's playing the infield in the past, so there is that. So right now, just excited to have him.
That was Joe Espada on the impact and the and calling up Pedro Leon. We talked about some of the negatives of Lo Perfetto being dealt to Toronto. He was in his Toronto Blue Jays uniform yesterday. He was out there. Jake Bloss has been sent down to the minors for Toronto. And obviously Will Wagner wasn't going to be a guy on their roster to start. So all the negatives potentially of tossing those guys aside, or at least trading them for Kikuchi. And, well, the guy who benefits, at least initially, is Pedro Leon. We'll see if he gets in at bat or is in the lineup tonight against the Pirates as the Astros try to avoid the sweep. Moving on to the Texans, they don't believe they're practicing today because they have a game. Oh, by the way, there is NFL football coming up here shortly. The Texans aren't going to play anyone, according to the Bears and the Texans. I don't think any Bears players of any consequence are really going to play, and it appears that no Texans will play that will have a huge impact on the actual regular season. You know, except some guys actually have to just get out there. You can't just play. I know there's a lot of guys on the roster. You can't just play third stringers the entire game. Some backups will play, certainly. Maybe Kamari Lassiter will get out there. I'm not sure he solidified himself as a don't play in the first preseason game type as a rookie. I would expect he would get some snaps just to see what he is as an outside corner. He likely won't see newly signed or newly extended DJ Moore. Will he even see Roma Dunze? Caleb Williams is a question of whether he'll play or not, which is a little crazy. He can play the rookie a couple snaps.
Unless
you're starting off the line, is he going to play, then sit him.
I'm starting to think that if I'm the Hall of Fame, I'm like, all right, guys, you're getting a little disrespectful.
I know how little
you're playing in this game.
I know you're playing more preseason games than others, but you got to give us something. The number one overall pick's got to give us a couple snaps, right?
I would be like, can we get one CJ Stroud drive?
Can we
just get one drive from CJ Stroud? Well, he can hand it off every time.
They're not getting a CJ Stroud drive. They're not. Now, if CJ Stroud had played like Bryce Young last year, they would get a CJ Stroud drive, but they wouldn't be that thrilled about it.
Yeah.
But now there's no chance. But Caleb Williams won't play. The Bears starters won't play. So what are we doing? Look, it's football.
It's such an awful game.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's
such an awful game. And more people are going to watch it than like the World Series.
They're so starved for anything. And it's the cycle that we do every year. Yeah, football's back. Oh, wait a minute.
No, I don't.
Not you. A lot of people do, though. Everyone's so excited that football's back. Then they realize, oh, yeah, it's the first preseason game. None of the people we recognize are playing. So why am I paying attention to this? Why am I watching this? And eventually you just tune out very quickly.
The only reason I even know who is playing in the Hall of Fame game.
Because the Texans are involved.
The Texans are in it.
I get that.
Normally the Hall of Fame game, I'm like, oh, that's tonight?
I'm with you there. I'm with you.
Even the first preseason game, like last year with the...
You didn't even want to see CJ make his debut?
I'm good. Because guess what? It's not actually his debut.
Understood. No stats.
In every official capacity is not his debut.
But you want to see him out there. You didn't want to see him out
picks
there.
All over the
Other
place.
People wanted to see him out there.
I remember that. I remember
the Texans wide receiver core living up to their billing as being terrible in the first preseason game or so. Yeah. And then eventually that turned around.
Yeah, I was going to say. That really set the tone for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. When they played actual games, they were fine.
They were fine. They were fine. Another couple weeks playing together in training camp, and they were fine. So the Texans play tomorrow. Not a lot of the Texans will play. If I was the Texans, you know what I would do? I know the branding's out there. I wouldn't have my new uniforms out there. I get it. I get that that's their debut, but I would wait for the regular season. I would have kept the old ones in the tuck. I would not roll them out there for preseason games.
CJ Stroud's not playing. Why does H-Town Blue have to be out there?
I don't think we'll see H-Town Blue, but I get what you're saying. I wouldn't put them out there because I don't want... To be honest, I don't want the first pass thrown in those uniforms to be Davis Mills.
It won't. And like that. That's the thing. If CJ Stroud, week one, snap one, throws a 75-yard touchdown to Stephon Diggs, people will be like, wow, the first play of the season. They're not going to go, well, actually, the first play of the season was a handoff. Was that outside run from, who's the guy they just signed? Cam Akers?
Is Cam Akers even going to play?
No.
Coming off the Achilles?
No, he's too good to play.
Coming off the Achilles and being too good, or at least established enough of a name.
Dare probably is too established, right?
I mean, Dare's got Jordan's going to play the Louisville running back, but Mixon's not going to play. I would not. Hey, you know what? We're going to save the debut for our new uniforms when we actually play the Colts. I'm not rolling them out for this game. Why would I do that?
Does Damian Pierce play?
Probably should.
Does he fall in the bucket of like some guys actually have to play?
If we are using our lens, because we have. People have positioned Damian Pierce as a guy who does not fit in this offense because of what happened last year. The assumption would be that guy's got to get reps. But if he is solidly the number two running back, why would he play?
And he is solidly the number two.
So that'll be a question. How solid is he? Why would you run your back? Why would you run in a league where you don't really have a featured back unless you're, I'm trying to think of guys, even unless you're Christian McCaffrey or Saquon. But he gets hurt enough that they would actually play a guy more. If he is your two and your 1-2 punch, why are you playing him?
And also, are we sure he's number two? Because we haven't seen number one. We still have yet to
That's
see number
true.
One practice.
At this point, Damian Pierce would be your starting back week one until Joe Mixon comes back. Although he's fine. We've been told he's fine.
He is fine.
By D'Amico. Foyne suggests... D'Amico finds him attractive.
Oh.
That's what foine means, at least what I remember. F-O-I-N-E is a different thing than F-I-O-N. You know that. F-I-N-E, excuse me. You know what that is. Foine and fine are two different things.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what D'Amico Ryan was saying.
I don't think he's foine. He's foine. I don't think he said that over and over again. But D'Amico did say this yesterday. He was very complimentary of the man who was honored at Minute Maid yesterday or last night. He threw out the first pitch. That was Andre Johnson. He made an appearance in the booth. He is going to be inducted along with others, including Devin Hester, his Miami Hurricane teammate. But the Texans are there in part, and they're playing the Bears in part because of those two guys, Hester and Andre, both going into the Hall of Fame. Here's D'Amico Ryan talking about his former teammate, Andre Johnson.
Being a rookie coming in, watching Andre work, I've never seen anyone work like him on any team I've been on. It's just the guy showed up every single day. He was the hardest worker. He was our best player. And when your best player is your hardest worker, right, what example is that setting for the younger guys, right? It was a great example for me being a young player and watching the way he worked, watching the way he went about his business. I always tell a story like me practicing playing with Andre for 6 years, I can count on one hand how many times I've seen him drop a football. Right, he was a very, very special player. And, you know, I go back. I always remember the Washington games, like overtime game, fourth quarter. Everybody knows the ball is going to Andre. They know it. We know it. They got like three guys on him. He still goes up and make the play for us to win the game. Just an outstanding player. The best I've seen. You good?
Andre Johnson is one of the prime examples of the eye test far outshining what the numbers would say when we talk about history. Like people, maybe 20 years from now, however long it might be, are going to look at Andre Johnson's numbers. You know, if YouTube doesn't exist, they won't be. There will be another place where you can look at the highlights. But if you just look at his numbers and comp him to other players, compare him to other players, whatever, fine. He's a fine receiver. But the eye test for people who remember watching him are going to be like, no. That was a dude, and at points the best wide receiver in football. He was just hampered by, at times, an inept quarterback or an inept organization overall. He's one of those guys where numbers don't tell the story, and anyone who watched him play will tell you that. You wouldn't realize until, unless you're keeping track because you knew about the Texans, that his numbers fall far under other guys who are in the Hall of Fame, just the way it'll be. But he's going to be there. He's one of the prime attractions of the event. And the Texans kind of kick it off tomorrow night where None of the players who eventually might make the Hall of Fame for them will play.
If there's a way for coaches not to play in the Hall of Fame game, they also would not.
Well, they're certainly not game planning. So that's their version of it.
If there's a way for Bobby Slowick to pass off play calling,
it would be the time, because if I don't know if they do this, but some coaches do that. They have a succession plan. The head coach goes, okay, Bobby Slowick does a great job here. We're going to give someone else an opportunity to call plays in this game, whether it be the first quarter, second quarter, whatever, because at some point, maybe we want to make an internal hire when Bobby Slowick eventually leaves. Guys do that.
Johnson might call plays.
I wouldn't be surprised at some point we hear, particularly if Bobby Slowick does take a job next offseason, this upcoming offseason, that we hear that at times Gerard Johnson was calling plays, whether it be in the preseason or he got a couple reps. We know we're going to hear, oh, it's a collaborative thing, and Gerard had a voice too. We're going to probably hear that at some point. Mm-hmm. But I would not be surprised if this is Gerard Johnson's quarter. Why? It's the fourth quarter of the last preseason game. Why wouldn't you give him? Hmm. Bobby Slowick's probably tired.
If that was Gerard Johnson, I'd be like, cool. Halfback reverse pass.
Well, not if you want to get a job later.
If you
actually want to get a job, maybe take it seriously. I know that's our attitude. Dare, you want to throw a couple passes here? That would be what we would do. But Gerard Johnson may say, hey, Case Keenum or whoever is their official third-string quarterback, Boyle. Whoever it is.
Does Case Keenum play in the Hall of Fame game?
Davis Mills plays, although we found out last year that Case Keenum is actually their backup quarterback, even though Davis Mills may be listed as the two. Mm-hmm. But when they need a win or they need something that's important, Case Keenum plays. I think Case Keenum plays.
He probably plays the least out of all the quarterbacks, though.
You think, yeah, in this upcoming game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of guys who
are going to play?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's likely.
Going to be watching a lot of Tim Boyle.
Well, Jets fans are like, good luck.
Yeah. Hey, Texans fans, you know, if you stick around for the third, fourth quarter, it's going to be big Tim Boyle hours.
I'm not going to tell people not to watch their Texans as they're back, but considering this game isn't representative of any of what you're going to see during the season, maybe after you see Kamari Laster play, if he does play, Bullock plays a little bit. After your rookies, maybe you like what Blake Fisher does in the first half. Go find something else to do.
Kate Stover's going to be out there.
Yeah, sure. If you want to see a tight end catch a couple passes, who knows? Okay. I would say there are a lot of options. Maybe 20 years ago you were stuck watching the football game. Now, it's a lot of options.
Even then, there's other channels.
True, but now you have so many streaming services.
Yeah.
You can find something to do. But hey, football's back starting tomorrow. And speaking of that, we talked a lot of Texans in a roundabout way. We'll get into more football when we come back. We'll do our draft of the holdout players. Who will we take first in this holdout draft or hold-in draft, depending on what the player's doing. We'll also do, or at least we'll also hear from Titans camp, where Jeffrey Simmons got into a back-and-forth. Their star defensive tackle got into a back-and-forth with a Titans and Tennessee radio personality after a tweet. So social media was a topic of their back and forth. And you'll hear Jeffrey Simmons off mic, because there's actually a Titan player that is sitting down for an interview. So we'll get to that and more when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. We're way late because that's what we do here. So we'll get to Eric here, and then depending on what Eric says, because it's always like a three-prong thing with Eric, depending on what he says, we might get to the Jeffrey Simmons thing. We'll likely hold the holdout draft till the next segment. But Eric wants to talk about his Houston Astros. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill. Why is this front office such an embarrassment? Do they drug test people to work there? If they don't, they should. And also, I agree with you. Deadpool wasn't that good. It was okay, but it didn't do anything. I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, it's just comments about things not being great.
Okay,
that's fine. So Why is this organization? I don't think the front office is a joke. They've not had a great run this year. The trade deadline was disappointing. The positives, if you can find them, are, hey, the prospects given out weren't that great. Was Jake Bloss maybe the one people are most upset about as far as talent? But Lo Perfido was a guy in his mid-20s, which is actually traditionally the Astros' way. Really, before they started winning a lot, that guys would come up in their mid-20s. Lo Perfido strikes out a lot, does play really good defense, and he's a rookie. So maybe as a 26-year-old, 27-year-old, he blossoms. But I don't think they're a joke. I don't think they need to be drug tested. I think they're in a tough spot. They have a bad minor league system. So even the guys that they thought were expendable wasn't going to get them a great player coming back. And they're in a position where they always have to try to win. They are a middling baseball team this year. And that's, at best, the move they can make. Trying to get a pitcher that they would have to sprinkle on their magic fairy dust to turn into a competent pitcher that they could depend on down the stretch. Like, if this was a team that didn't have to push, that's not great for that American gymnast on the pommel. Not great, as the individual all-around stuff's going on right now.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Not great.
That was rough.
That's all my entire gymnastics grading process is, if you fall or stumble, not great.
Yeah, I don't know how difficult, and I don't think he can even do, he can do it over, but it doesn't matter, I guess. I don't know what's a great routine, what's a bad one, but I know slipping off the pommel and having to restart is bad. And he's at it again, which is obviously something we could never do. But relatively speaking, that didn't go well for him. So we'll see. But back to the Astros. If they could just treat this as maybe not a lost year, but hey, it's not going to be our year, I would have leaned that way. But the owner says this: we won't ever not be trying to win while I'm here, whether that's just lip service or not. This is what he said. So at every deadline, they're going to try to make a move. Sometimes they can't get it done. Other times it's going to be underwhelming. Just how it is when you're trying to compete. And the window, you understand. The Bregman thing, the Tucker thing, as far as guys who it feels don't have long to be wearing Astros uniforms, the inevitable step back will probably come. You're trying to extend the window as long as you can. And frankly, I've had this talk before as far as the window. The fact that they've been great and competitive and in it since 2015 says, we'll tell you, this window's been open longer than probably it should. It's not natural to be really good for nearly a decade in a sport unless you have, in the NFL, a great quarterback that allows for it. But baseball, the fact that they've gotten to so many ALCSs is remarkable, and it's old hat for us now. Sean's like, hey, make the ALCS. Big deal. That's what you always do. It's what they do.
I mean, we talked about it with what did the Astros have to do with Yusei Kikuchi to make people okay with to make fans okay with the deal. And when you go, oh, what if they lose in the ALCS? I'm like, that's okay. That they could have done that without Yusei Kikuchi.
Because they always make it.
Yeah, so that just speaks to like the expectations. Like, Yusei Kikuchi has to be on a team,
a contributor
that makes the World Series, or else it's a failure that they traded two guys in their mid-20s.
And yes, in baseball, prospects, I put that in quotes, in their mid-20s. So they're in a spot where winning and striving for that is all they're about right now. And there may be a time where a trade deadline comes, whether it be with Dana Brown running the front office or someone else, where they go, no, we're sitting this one out. This team as it's, and I forgot about Verlander being at an advanced age in baseball terms. So they have to not waste his years, however many years that might be remaining. And of course, injuries played a part in all of this. So I can't blame them for this deadline. It's underwhelming, sure. But what were they going to do? Say, stick with Arrighetti and Bloss and see what happens. I would have hoped they would have gotten someone different than Kikuchi, but that's where they landed on. No drug test needed. I mean, the Montero Abreu signings, if we're talking about drug test, maybe a couple off seasons ago.
Jeff Bagwell needs a drug test.
I don't want to say names. You said the name. Huh. If we're talking about front office wide drug tests, that would have been the off season for it. This trade deadline, whatever.
Yeah, there also seems to be a little bit of whiplash from fans. Again, just like the fact that they traded two guys that you know their names.
Sure.
They're three guys that you know their names. One of them because of who his dad is.
But two
guys.
The other two
that you saw on your television.
Two guys who wouldn't have been up if not for all the injuries.
Yes. But nevertheless.
They were up and you know them.
Astros fans are like, I have memories of Joey Loferfito
making plays in the outfield. Yes. And if injuries hadn't hit this team so hard, he would have still been striking out at Sugarland. Oh. What?
That's ugly.
He did strike out.
Hit a lot of home runs too.
Yes, but what's translated to the Major League Baseball at bats? Striking out a lot. He could have done that in the minor league if not for all the injuries and the lack of production from certain players.
It is crazy how, again, 2 months ago, he was the savior of the team. Save us from
Abreu.
From Jose Abreu, please. Even though he ended up, I don't think, ever playing first base for the Astros. And again, 2 months later, see ya. We're getting Yusei Kikuchi.
Time for you to learn Canadian, buddy.
Yeah.
Joey Loperfido.
You're ready to learn syrup.
Maple. And find out the difference between bacon and Canadian bacon. Those are all things you need to figure out before you officially become a Canadian. All right, we'll get to the sound from Texans. I keep making that mistake. From Titans training camp. We'll also talk about our draft. Either we get to it in the next segment or the first segment of hour one. Thanks, Eric. Drug tests a little strong, but I appreciate your love of your Houston Astros. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Something that popped up I want to get to in hour two. I don't know if it'll show up in Thursday's game or tomorrow's game for the Texans, as far as there's going to be a new way of determining first downs. But I feel like they're missing the point of our biggest contention about that, so we'll get to that a little bit later. But I did want to talk about this. If you did not hear or do not know, Jeffrey Simmons can be a little ornery. He is the defensive tackle, a great one for the Tennessee Titans. He was involved in a back and forth with a Tennessee radio guy named Buck Riesing. Apparently, Buck's very popular in Tennessee and outspoken. And he tweeted about a fight that occurred between Jeffrey Simmons and I believe C.J. Latham, who is a rookie for the Titans out of Alabama. So the tweet seems relatively innocuous. It's not a big deal. So it makes you think that this was brewing from Jeffrey Simmons because you'll hear it. And he is off mic. So you're going to hear the radio guys talking. You're going to hear a Titan who isn't Jeffrey Simmons about to be interviewed. But you'll hear Jeffrey Simmons show up, I guess as he's walking by at camp, beyond or at least by the setup for Buck Riesing and his co-host. And this is the tweet that set him off. Simmons just swung at Latham after some pushing and shoving. Ref said 98, who was Simmons, that's his number, would have been tossed in a game. He's back in for the next two and immediately starts a brawl. Sloppy. Simmons needs to lock TFN, which is the FN. This is Simmons and Buck Riesing, and they're back and forth after that tweet.
Well, Jeff, you want to sit down? We can talk whenever you want to talk. Jeff, we'll deal with that later. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, I mean, we're on the air right now.
Carrot, you do a lot of talk on social media.
I'm right here, Jeff. We can talk anytime you want to. Unbelievable.
We got to make that happen.
Well, we'll deal with that later on. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, if you want to sit down and talk about this, we can talk about this.
I'm telling you, stop talking on social media. Talk to me.
I'm talking to you right here. Jeff, we tried to talk to you last week. I'm being rude to Roger. We'll deal with you later. Roger,
Okay.
What's going on?
It's good. Doing good out here. I'm doing good.
Now let's have a normal interview with Roger McCreary. The bleeped out word, in fact, he might have even said it again, but it's so jarbled that you can't really tell. He called him the P word. Stop being a P. That's what Jeffrey Simmons said to Buck Riesing. I mean, the initial tweet, yeah, sloppy, locked F in, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. I imagine Jeffrey Simmons had heard enough of Buck Riesing, or at least read enough. And as a radio guy who gets the access to put your radio station out there, I think they're the Titans rights holder. I think they're the ones who call the games. Or maybe the Titans just have an open door policy when it comes to having media out there. I would ask Jeffrey Simmons, if I'm the Titans organization, can you relax a little bit? It's just a tweet.
He needs to lock the
F in. Lock the F in and stop caring about what Buck Riesing has to say. I love it. I appreciate it. But if I'm the Titans, please. Could you not do this?
Can he let Roger McCreary get his...
Yeah,
get his
frankly, interview? We gave him Roger McCreary. Let Roger McCreary sit down and have a conversation. Could you not be the guy who decides to go after a guy named Buck? Leave Buck alone.
A guy named Buck.
Well, I don't know anything else about him besides his first name. Well, I guess his last name is Riesing, or Riesing, however you pronounce it. Jeffrey Simmons... Oh, there's a talk about gymnastics. A Chinese gymnast just fell on his head. That's not great.
That'll happen.
It happens in that sport. So, let's have a discussion. Is that what Buck Riesing said has to have been the culmination of things that Jeffrey Simmons had just heard enough of?
I doubt that that's the first time that Jeffrey Simmons has been in the middle of the crosshairs of Buck Riesing, either tweet or segment.
When you're the Titans and you haven't been good, you've been fine. In fact, up until recently, a consistent playoff team, but last year wasn't great for you. And if Jeffrey Simmons is a guy who does get into camp fights or does things that you would say aren't great for the football team, beyond, you know, his play, he's a great player, I'm sure Buck has had some words. And stop talking about me on social media. He responds, I want to talk to you. And then Jeffrey Simmons, I don't want to talk to you. Wait a minute.
Huh.
What are you talking about?
Back down from Buck, huh?
So you want to talk to me face to face, but you don't want to talk to me. Jeffrey Simmons, I think, just wanted to have a conversation off the air, because what he wanted to say to Buck Riesing, he couldn't say on the air.
I don't even think he wanted to have a conversation.
He just wanted to yell at him.
I think he just wanted to.
Yeah, I don't think there. I don't think he wanted dialogue. I think he wanted the chance to yell at you off the air.
To call you a P word.
Yeah, multiple times probably, and other words too. So, but I get Riesing saying or Buck. So I just know how to pronounce Buck. I'm not sure if Riesing is how you say it. I guess Buck is like, I would love to have you on there. Jeffrey, I ain't got time to be on the air with you. I don't want to have a civilized, normal conversation. I just want to call you the P word and other things and then go about my day.
Yeah, we'll bump Roger McCreary for you right now.
I'm not looking for that. I just want to yell at you. I'm trying to think, I would like someone to do that at Texans camp. It probably wouldn't happen to the 6'10 guys, but Paul had some comments about the O-line not being great. I need Titus Howard to go after Paul Gallant. I need Paul to be out there, Paul to tweet about the offensive line, and then Titus Howard to know that that's Paul Gallant. Go, oh, Gallant says, is that you? P word. Yeah. Which would probably start a fight. I don't think Paul's going to take kindly to be calling the P word face to face.
I don't think.
Because he doesn't have the responsibilities of being on air.
That's the thing. Paul isn't on. It's Paul in the streets mode.
Is he the most likely guy if a Texan player had to call someone out, would it be Paul? Although Jeremy Branham and Titus Howard have had a back and forth, before.
Yeah, I think Jeremy's number one. Yeah, just because they've actually interacted on
He's Twitter. Ranked number one because we've seen it. Yeah. But as far as a face-to-face thing, oh, I saw what you said. I saw your tweet, Gallant. He's the one who would likely escalate it, most likely into a thing where Texans media has to separate people.
I don't think Paul would escalate but he would hold his ground.
Yeah, he wouldn't back away. Yeah. If he got called the P word by someone out there, I'm using Paul mostly because I don't know if he's likes the fight guy. He's most likely to like the fight guy. I'm not sure if he's that, but when we're comping him or comparing him to other people here, he's most likely to be that guy. He would be the one who would go, I'm not apologizing. I said what I said, but I'm not looking to fight you. 6'5", 335-pound man.
Yeah, I think that's also a key part. If it was If it was Tank Dell getting in his face, maybe he would stand his
ground. Yeah, because Tank is smaller, so Paul would be like, okay, man, whatever.
But the fact we're immediately jumping to offense.
I was just trying to use the big guy because Jeffrey Simmons is the big guy.
Yeah. I think Paul would de-escalate if a 300-pounder walked in front of him.
Yeah, they're you pick your battles. And one with Titus Howard, beyond the professional ramifications, the physical issues you might have to deal with are another reason to, hey man, just doing my job.
I think we misunderstand each other. I'd love to have a conversation.
On my show from 12 to 3.
Yeah, on Galan George.
Yeah, from 12 to 3. And then Titus, I don't want to talk to you, but stop using social media to talk about me. So that's happening at Titans camp. I'm sure things are just hunky-dory down there. In Tennessee, they've got their own problems, namely Will Levis at quarterback. I would be upset too if I was Jeffrey Simmons. I'm out here in this hot ass sun, and I know things ain't going to go our way this year. I got Will Levis playing quarterback for my team. When you get into the existential things about the Titans, I would be upset too. I would want to fight everyone because I know I'm getting paid. It's great to be an NFL player, but I know when it matters most, it's either Will Levis or Malik Willis throwing passes. That can't go the way we want it to go. Good luck to the Titans. Worst quarterback situation in the AFC South by far. And that's even with me and my disdain for the Trevor Lawrence hype. I mean, if we're ranking, he's clearly above what's going on in Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, no one's blown away. People don't think his contract is the level.
No, certainly no one's saying he's underpaid.
Yeah, on the level of his actual output. But his actual output's better than Will Levis's.
Yeah. The man's made a playoff game. Won a playoff game. Thanks to...
He made a heroic comeback after throwing 4 interceptions in the first half.
Yeah, I don't want to give him such credit for a comeback after he was the main reason they were down.
Heroic comeback.
Heroic, you say. I think he evened out. Like, you were so bad in the first half, no matter what you did in the second half, you would say, oh, okay, that's a net neutral. Because of how terrible you are. And thankfully, you're playing the Chargers, who are always apt to do something stupid when they're trying to win a football game. But we haven't had those issues at Texans camp. You know, fighting between the players, but no one called out a media member. We've got plenty of training camp to go. I see somebody up there. I don't know their name. We'll get to you. Just know I see you up there. We'll get to you on the other side. And then after that, we'll get into our holdout draft, because there are some wide receivers you can take, some tackles you can take, and a defensive pass rusher, a defensive end, an edge rusher you can take. So premium positions out there, and big names who are not participating in camp either because they want a new deal. Well, it's always because they want a new deal, but either they're at camp and not practicing, or they're not at camp at all. So we'll discuss that when we come back in hour two of this show.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.